Krishna. I'm just on my way to England, and before I'm due, I'm just going to skim over BBC News and give a little commentary in perspective of Bhagavad Gita. I daily look at BBC Internet. I used to read Time magazine, but I find this much less expensive, much quicker. And so let me just do that now before I go out and head out the door. We start off with the chief article, and that is that Israel is ready to act over Iran. Here the Israel's defense minister has warned of his country's readiness to act against Iran if it feels threatened. You may have heard that Iran has been, over the last 3 days, testing its new rockets that are, well, there's a picture here, that are capable of reaching all the way to Calcutta by this picture in India, all the way up to the border of Romania and Hungary, and then down to the southwest, to as far as Egypt, takes in all of Egypt, which includes Israel. So their idea is that they can blast Tel Aviv off the map. And here, Ehud Barak, the foreign minister, the defense minister, is saying that if they're provoked, they're already ready to act. In other words, they're ready to fight it out. And America has also rattled some sabers and told Iran that they're also ready to get involved. So this is a verge of a war. Of course, that whole part of the world, Middle East, is always living under the threat of one type of war or another, but this is quite extreme. Let's hope they cool it down. Of course, everyone in the world is very concerned that Iran is developing weapons-grade uranium. They say they want to use it for peaceful purposes, for generating electricity, but no one believes them. They think that they're wanting to make atom bombs. So stick those atom bombs on top of these rockets, and you've got yourself some excitement. Anyway, it doesn't seem like the world's going to allow that. And here's a very blood-thrilling image of four rockets shooting up all at the same time. They're doing it during the day, they're doing it during the night. Okay, I guess enough of that. Let's just all hope that we live out of range, isn't it? Just a little more perspective on nuclear armament. We see how armies are just being armed all over the world. It really reminds you of the beginning of Krishna book, where it says that the earth was just protesting to Lord Brahma, that all these unnecessary armies, people are protecting their tract of land, where there's no demarcation between one country and another physically on the ground, but still on the maps, this is my country, you can't come. We fight over territorial rights to protect our sovereignty, water source, and so on, instead of seeing the globe as simply being owned by Krishna, given to man in order to live peacefully, to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Everyone wants to live a unique lifestyle, a lifestyle that's characterized by the American ideal of luxury, excess, super excess. As a result of that, resources are limited for that. Krishna did not create the world in order to facilitate unlimited resources for everyone, but you get what you need in order to live. And there is enough in the world for what everyone needs. But when people become greedy and they want more, then they start to use physical might in order to take more and ensure their rights, particularly in a global world where produce, everything is coming from all parts of the world. And in order to back that up, they have to have military armaments. They're spending billions and billions for that. The other day, there was an article where the Defense Ministry of America is spending $60 billion in order to purchase 300, if I remember right, airplanes. These are not fighter airplanes. These are just airplanes that can fuel other airplanes in the sky. That's all. So this is just fueling up so that the planes don't have to land somewhere on a ship or on land, but that they can fuel in the air. And ultimately, they consider that the bill may go up to $100 billion. Just consider that, $100 billion. It's a phenomenal amount of money. And this is not even what you can say for a weapon. This is just for backup. Still, in perspective of that, I'm reading here that in malnourished and bountiful Lombok. Lombok is a place in Indonesia, and here the point is that everyone is, their staple is eating rice. Although this area or this island, anything grows over there, the ground is very fertile, they've got so many vegetables, still people grow vegetables in their gardens, but in order to keep consuming rice, they're selling vegetables and purchasing less and less rice, because the price of rice is increasing around the world. It's increasing to the extent that this was a reporter seeing how the children were being taken to the doctor. 40% of children are undernourished, they're malnutrition in the entire island, and they bring their babies in, children, and weigh them in a sack. And of course, because they're just eating rice, they're not getting enough of their own vegetables. Therefore, they're not getting the type of vitamins that they need. It's a very serious situation. Of course, part of it is education. The people must not only eat rice, but should eat vegetables as well. But the main highlight here is that while there's $60 billion for fuel refueling planes, the price of rice is going up. And bringing all of these points together, the G8 meeting just took place in Japan. G8 means the most eight wealthy, opulent countries of the world. Their leaders were meeting to deal with the most important issues that face the world. Well, you get an idea of how much leaders are valued and protected worldwide, that in order to facilitate this meeting in northern Japan, 22,000 policemen had to be deployed, and that's just how much they told the news was being engaged. So eight people are so much under threat, are so hated, the leaders of this world are so hated, you need 22,000 people to protect them. Hare Krishna. Can you imagine the cost of that? Now, their main priority was to discuss how the price of rice, as I read in Lombok, is going up, is increasing, and to do something about that, and how climate change is also affecting that, amongst other things. While they're talking about how people are starving in the world, these eight people, their wives and some other invitees from different countries, they flew in with them 60 chefs and their assistants. I'm speaking about this with Devamrita Maharaj. So people are starving, but we're flying in 60 chefs. This is the excess I was talking about. Certain people want to live in a way that will never be within the reach of others. Other people also want to live like that. And this idea that we should really recognize what our quota is, there's plenty in the world, but if you want to take away that which belongs to another, you cause friction amongst nations, amongst people, amongst countries. You feed their greed, and ultimately you incur the wrath of the Lord, and calamities undoubtedly have to ensue. Okay, and then one topic that you've heard me speak about here, this is the alarming plight of coral reefs. Here it's stated that one-third of the coral reefs in the world are now, due to global warming, at risk of extinction in a very short period of time. Of course, that doesn't just mean that the coral reefs are disappearing and there won't be any shipwrecks, but the coral reefs are home to an entire ecosystem of plants, fish, other types of marine animals, marine wildlife. which is all going to disappear, and of course that will also affect the food cycle, what people eat, because they're eating marine life. It will also affect the quality of the oxygen and so on that goes into the air. The oceans are being heated up, and just one simple estimate, people go to see coral reefs, they do undersea diving and traveling to see these real beautiful underwater paradises. Just the loss in that, what to speak of some of the other things that I mentioned in terms of ecological damage, in terms of rising food prices and so on, $15 billion loss just in tourism. And these things will disappear within our lifetime. That's the estimate they make now. Generally, these estimates are above what the actual reality is. All right, so we got want on the other side. Here's a little tidbit about excess. Sergeant Pepper drum fetches £540 million, or $1 million. Lonely Pepper's Hearts Club Band, that used to be a record by the Beatles. The drum, which was the name, was painted on and photographed for that album. That was being auctioned at Christie's, and someone bought that for $1 million. How far would that $1 million go for the malnutrition kids over in Indonesia? Some people have excess, some people are insufficient in terms of their needs in life. And this is going on, but not for long. It's not possible to live like this. And also in the news, last but not least, a Chile pole dancer arrested. Police in Chile have arrested a stripper who was attempting to remove her clothes outside the presidential palace. Why was she doing this? This comes after her arrest 3 days ago when she did the same thing in the underground, the metro. Well, you better watch out, those of you who are going in the metro. It seems that she got on the metro at one station, took off her clothes before it hit the other. And what was the reason for that? Because Chilean society is too prudish. They need to really open their minds. And it seems that she's got a manager who's financing this. She's a professional pole dancer. I don't really know what that means. But anyway, this is the further demoralization of society and the idea of some people that in order to increase people's desires, in order to fuel their lust, which is also then connected to their greed, that values should be brought down. And this is one way of doing it. So watch it when you get on to the next metro. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.